on this somewhat rainy but yet God-filled morning. I am standing before you as an act of God's grace, for yesterday afternoon I spent a few hours getting to know the emergency room staff at Scottsdale Osborne, and got to meet a couple of really darling firemen that took me there. And I have a bad back, so that's why I'm holding on up here for dear life. John said, "What should I do if you start to fall?" I said, "Stand up and start to preach." So we have a game plan, so let's get after it. What do you say? I am so privileged to be back in your midst, to be back home, if you will. For someone asked me yesterday, "Do you know the church you're going to preach?" I said, "Know it, honey. I was there the day she was born." And that's the way I feel. I feel as though I've come home to that very special place. And I've come home with the request to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart. And that is the word trust, and trusting in God's future. For you see, my friends, I don't stand here before you. I'm not a part of the birthing of this place. I'm not a part of any of the lives of yours or your children's that have occurred along the way. Had my mother not trusted in God's future. It began there, as so often it does for us. Our parents teach us that about trust. And we take it on ourselves then as we get older and we are through with our confirmation process. All too often in our Lutheran life, we confirm young people and we never see them again. They see themselves as having graduated and finished with church, when really, really all they've done when they take their confirmation and affirm their baptism is say, "Yes, indeed, Lord, I trust in your future, and I feel called to be a part of it." See, you can't trust in something if all you do is give it lip service. The word trust is all too easily thrown around in our world today. I see political polls even. How much do you trust somebody? Well, I'm sorry, I don't know them well enough to know if I trust. Trust comes in the form of a relationship. A relationship. We heard this morning of the two men on the crosses, one on each side of Christ. One didn't trust and one did. And to the one that did, Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise." The relationship was born in that very split second and was promised and secured for time and all eternity. Well, we trust. Sure, we trust. We trust that we will get up each morning. We trust that we will go about our business. We trust in our friends, maybe in colleagues, maybe in neighbors. Certainly, we hope we can trust in our pastors. And yet, how do we show that trust in a reciprocal manner? See, trust is not this easy little thing we can just give lip service to. It's an active, living relationship, trusting. We must trust one another and then further deal with one another in the grace first given us at the cross. You're going to trust somebody, I guarantee it. And for all of you who have taken marriage vows, I would be shocked, I tell you, if there wasn't at least once in your relationship that you felt hurt by the other person. Trusting them as much as you could, yet some one day they said or did some one thing. And yet your relationship was also born and grounded in grace. And so by that grace, you moved on. You turned from what hurt you and moved on in grace. For me, the concept of turning is a really important one. Now that I have this new leg, it's newly realigned. It's kind of got rear-wheel drive, if you will, rather than the old style, front-wheel drive. Turning means taking a little wider angle than I used to. But in a trusting relationship, we must be able to turn either back to one another or turn to the grace first promised us at the cross in order to get any further. We must be willing to make the turn. I wish I could give you a happy, fun little anecdote that goes with that, but really it is hard work. It's hard work. We want to just keep on keeping the way we go. You know the old joke about how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Well, change? Why? We like the old light bulb. It was just fine for us. Okay, it wasn't good enough. It didn't give enough light to other people. But for me, it was just fine. That's the kind of change and turning we must engage in these days. Our world is changing and turning, and it is up to us, the church, the living, breathing body of Christ, to turn and embrace the future God holds out before us and to be active participants in that, to turn toward the cross of Christ and say, from you, gracious God, come everything we need, all that defines us, all that embraces us, everything we need to be what you have called and created us to be. And my home church this morning, they're taking up the dedication envelopes just in the manner that you are. And everyone's worried whether we'll come up with another $2.50 a week per person, because that's what it's going to take to keep the doors open. I am so glad I'm not there, because I'm afraid my big mouth might open. Because I'm not a happy camper with that thought. I got to tell you right now, and I'm about to get my Baptist on, so just brace yourselves. I am not happy with that thought, because if it's $2.50 to keep the doors open, then we're giving to the wrong thing. We are giving to maintain a building and grounds and things that we like and comfort us. And that has never been what we were called to be. If you've all got a check, watch out, John. If y'all have a check in your pocket made out to Living Water Lutheran Church so that you can keep these nice surroundings, then I suggest you might consider taking it back out and rethinking it. If you are willing this morning to come forward with a dedication or a donation that is committed to the ministry of Jesus Christ beyond this place, through what you can equip the saints here to do, then come with it. Come with it. Bring it. Because that's what we're all about. Turn from the old style. I pray. I plead with you. Turn from the old style of seeing ourselves here to equip this lovely place. For we are about feeding the world. We are about comforting those who are hurting. We are about freeing the captives of sin. We are about living out the baptismal promise and the promise Jesus made to us in the same way he made it to the sinner on the cross. Because you and I are sinners on the cross right next to him. He said, "You will be with me in paradise." Let's make sure our work to get there is filled with the joy of the possibility. And I got to tell you, I don't get a lot of joy at my house when I write out the check for the utilities. Do you? Anybody go, oh, it's the day. It's APS day. I get to write the check. There's not a whole lot more joy in writing the mortgage check, except that I am so grateful to have a roof over my head. But when I can write a check, or get my body up and go do something that furthers the gospel in the world, there is joy beyond belief. There is power in it. It changes our lives. It turns us into something new. I have this wonderful picture in my mind of the National Youth Gathering many years ago. The theme was Ubuntu, which is an African word for community. It implies that we exist solely because the rest of you exist. My identity is linked to yours. In order to serve communion to the 20,000 young people that came to that event, We contracted with a group of women in a village in Tanzania to weave baskets that would serve as patterns for the bread. They asked for 75 cents a basket, for that would feed their family for a month. We paid them $5 a basket, and they were astonished. Then we found some wood and went to the Wisconsin Woodturners Association, who took this rough-hewn wood and turned it and turned it and turned it until it became a bowl worthy of holding the blood of Christ. It was in that turning, that constant turning, that something rough, usable but rough, became something beautiful that promoted the spirit of God's grace in the world. I'm asking you this morning to join with me in an adventure that may cause us to get a little scraped up along the way, to fall down and yet know we will be picked up. Turning wood isn't an easy thing. Turning Lutherans, woofta. But the gospel calls us, and the letter to the Colossians reminds us that we are to live in the joy of thanksgiving for what we do have. Right at this very moment, I am so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. I have stood here this long without pain. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to get here and to be with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the power that you have reigned in my life and in the lives of others. Thank you, Jesus, for the new life experienced by those dear to us who have passed from this life into the life of the saints. And thank you, Jesus, for calling and equipping each one of us, each and every one of us, gifts small or large do not matter. Thank you, Jesus, for equipping each and every one of us to turn to you, to turn to your cross, and to walk forward, bound and determined to be a part of the greater ministry, not a part of something small. We are called to be much bigger than all of that. We are called to trust in God's future. My last thought is, I recall being part of the birthing process, the time we had our first congregational meeting and we presented our first real budget to all, 57 of us, where we were going to say to churchwide, we will now start paying Pastor Tim's salary. And we're going to start paying and we're going to start putting some money away to build our building. And a person in the assembled group said, but we don't have that much money. And our treasurer, Ron Ressler, said, we never have, not sure we ever will, but we are going to trust in God's future. We are going to trust that the money will come, that we are here to do what we were called and planted here to do. So this day, I'm going to ask you to remember back to those days, those of you who were here, and to those of you who are new to this ministry, oh, a word of welcome. There is such joy to be had in what can happen in and through this place. I invite you to remember that God's future holds everything we need. Absolutely everything we need. And calls us to share it fully, freely, and joyfully with the world he created around us. Thanks be to God for you, for God's kingdom, for God's call, and for that path. Ready, set, go. Amen.